Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Secrets of Ascension by Saint Germain. I am Troika Saint Germain, and I thank you for listening. I hope that you will call in tonight. I'd love to have people call and talk and ask questions. And the call-in numbers, toll-free numbers, if you're within the United States, is 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, your toll-free number is 888-810-8322. So, for those of you been listening before, I had eye surgery last week. And it's been quite an experience, and I've learned very much about myself and about the process along the way. And if you haven't heard the story before, I was diagnosed about 10 years ago with cataracts, and my left eye was the worst one. And I let it progress and progress and progress over the years, and was very adamant and stubborn that I was going to heal it myself. I was going to really push the envelope and see how far I could go with healing it through spiritual means and antioxidant supplements and lots of prayers and hands-on healing and everything and anything I knew to do. I tried. And I was getting progressively worse, but every now and then it would get a little bit better, and I'd go, see, it's working, I'm getting somewhere with this. And then it would get worse, and back and forth and back and forth, until a couple of weeks ago, well, it was mid-December, literally overnight, it just flatlined is the word that I've been using for it. I know that's not totally the correct word, but it was like that. It was just like, boom, all of a sudden, overnight, it went from about 70% opacity to 100% opacity, and I could not see at all out of that eye, just a little bit of light and shadow. And it was at that point that I went, uh-oh, I had better call the doctor, do something. I had given up and on the thought of healing it myself. And I went through a lot of mental and emotional thought processes and feeling somewhat like a failure that I couldn't do it myself, and feeling kind of crummy about it, actually. I don't know what other word to describe. I just felt, I felt like a failure. And yet I didn't want to be that hard on myself. So I started really thinking about all the modern things that we have at our disposal and how God works in so many different ways. And then I remembered this joke that I had heard years and years and years ago. And it was about this man that was in a flood, and the whole town became flooded, and he was sitting on the roof of his house, and the water kept raising and raising, and he was praying and praying to God, and he was saying, God, please save me, save me from this flood. I don't know how to swim, and I don't want to drown. Please save me. And before he knew it, a little time had passed, and two men in a rowboat came by, and they're motioning to him, come on in the boat, we'll save you. And he looked at them, and he waved, and he said, no, thanks, that's okay, I'm waiting for God to save me. And the men kind of looked at each other and shrugged and said, okay, and they rowed off. And meanwhile, the water's getting higher and higher, and and the man's getting a little bit more desperate, and he's, please, God, please, save me. The water's getting higher. I don't know what to do. Please save me. A little bit more time goes by, and two men one of those boats that has the motors, what are they called? A motorized boat comes by, and the men are motioning to him, come on, get in the water, it's getting higher, come on, we'll save you. No, thanks anyway, but you know, I've asked God, God's going to save me. And then go, well, suit yourself. And they, you know, zipped off. Well, now the water is lapping at his roof, and it's just got a, you know, a few more, about another foot or two before he's actually wet. And he's going, okay, God, this is a, you know, really, really, I'm asking for your help now. Please, please, you know, I can't hang on much longer. Please save me. And he's praying profusely and really, you know, concentrating on God saving him. And a helicopter comes by, and it drops the ladder down, and they're saying, come on, grab the ladder, come on up, you know, you're going to be underwater in about 5 minutes. And he looks at the helicopter, and he looks at the rope, and he looks at the water coming up, but this man has faith. And he looks at the pilot, and he waves them off and says, that's okay. God's going to save me. I know God's going to save me. The helicopter leaves. The man drowns. He's met at the pearly gates by God himself. And he looks at him and he says, God, I had so much faith. I had so much belief. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and asked you to please save me. Why did you let me drown? Why didn't you save me? God looks at him and says, I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What more did you want? And I realized that the eye surgeon was my helicopter. So I went into eye surgery, and the worst part about it is I had to get up at 5:30 in the morning to do it. And for those of you that know me, I usually go to bed around 3 in the morning, so that was the worst part of the whole surgery. And I was in I wasn't nervous. I had really, asked St. Germain and the angels and all to protect me and for the surgery to go well. And as I'm asking and praying for help, I just knew that I didn't even have to bother to ask because I was surrounded by angels, and that I would be protected and that everything would be fine. And, of course, the surgeon kept telling me on the pre-exam appointments and stuff that I had let my eye go way too long and that it was now kind of a difficult, tricky operation. And, I thought, well, okay, two boats have gone by. Now it's the helicopter. And I was taking full responsibility for, well, I let it go too long, but somehow, you know, this operation is going to be perfect, and I will see again, and I will see not only physically, but I knew that I would see clearer in a lot more respects as well as just the third dimensional sight. And so when I went in, it turned out that we were a little bit early getting to surgery, so I sat outside the building, and I violet flamed the entire building and everybody that worked in it and asked for the golden light to come in and for every single person that worked in that facility to be blessed and to be benefited by... Hello?
Hello?
Is that a beep? Is that a person there?
I grade out to sometimes that high.
So who is this?
This is Wayne.
Wayne. Hi, Wayne.
Hello.
What can
Hello.
I do for you, Wayne?
I was just, I heard your story about God, you know, and the stranded person.
Yes.
And it reminded me of a story.
Okay.
And that story was about Paddy, the Irishman.
Paddy the Irishman, okay.
Yes. He had a good connection with God.
Mm-hmm.
And like a lot of Irishmen, he wanted to win the Irish sweepstakes.
Okay.
And God assured him that, Paddy, you will win the Irish sweepstakes. So years went by, years went by, 15, 18, 20 years. Now, Patty's getting pretty mad now because he has not won the Irish sweepstakes. You know, and he had the biggest fixer in the universe on his side.
Right.
And as of yet, as of then, he had not won. So he was really agitated, and he got God's attention. And he said, you know, you promised me that I would win, and you have not come through. And God looked at Patty, and he said, well, you know, my man, it would be very helpful if you would buy a ticket.
How true. So to combine your story with my story, I guess the point would be God works in mysterious ways, but even only he or she can do so much without our participation as well.
Yes. He didn't get a ticket to fall out of the sky and fall into Patty's pocket. That was up to Patty. So
that's the story.
I just had to tell that because of what you had just said.
Mm-hmm. It's a great story, and it dovetails quite nicely with mine.
Yes, and I heard.
Yes, see, and if I had, I needed to call the surgeon. I needed to make that phone call. That was my participation for then God to heal my eyes through the beauty of modern medicine. And the operation that I had, I deem that operation to be a miracle. It is amazing to go from total blindness to 100% perfect sight with a 10-minute procedure. I was blown away by how easy it was and how amazing. You know, they use ultrasound to disintegrate the lens in your eye and vacuum it all out in one little step. And then they put this artificial lens that is rolled up so tight it fits into the inside of a little skinny needle that then is just kind of popped, sort of like a little dart gun, you know, popped into your eye, and it unfolds itself and positions itself in perfect place.
That sounds really amazing.
It's amazing.
You know, that.
And then the doctor told me later that my eyes had gotten so bad that normally they cannot even perform the operation at that point, because from the surgeon's perspective, all he can see is white, and he can't tell which part is the part to take out and which is the part to leave.
Oh, man.
So they have this new procedure that 6 months ago, or maybe about a year ago, had I gone in then, they didn't have that procedure yet, where they have sort of a dark indigo dye, and they put it into your eye, and it colors the cataract to this, you know, indigo blue, and then they remove the blue part and leave the white part. So yes, I waited too long. But no, I waited long enough for the new procedure to come.
You waited too long, but the technology caught up with you and with your help.
Yes.
Special help, which we can always use.
Yeah. So today I went in for my 1 week checkup, and the doctor, you know, looked at my eye. He says, oh my God, he goes, it's absolutely beautiful. He goes, the lens is positioned just perfectly. You're feeling amazingly. You know, they gave me this eye test, and even though my eyes are still a little blurry and all that, I could read little itty bitty teeny tiny type that, you know, was type that I wasn't able to read past maybe the age of 20 without assistance. And so I told him, I said, you know, I don't know how you feel about this type of stuff. I said, but I'm going to ask you anyway. And I said, you know, you've told me that this procedure was a little beyond the norm, and that there was cause for a little bit of concern as to how well the results would be. I said, did you feel, and I said, and then you've told me how well it went. I said, did you feel any kind of a assistance or help or divine intervention, you know, during the procedure. And said, I don't really know this doctor at all. And he looked at me and he smiled and he goes, well, I want you to know that I pray before every operation. And he says, in your case, I didn't really feel someone guiding my hands or that type of sensation. He goes, but it did go extremely quickly and extremely smooth and with precise perfection. So I then told him, I said, well, you know, I see angels. And I said, and that room was filled with several really large angels that were there to assist you and I. And he just, you know, kind of smiled and said, well, you know, glad it all worked out. So it was a fun experience. I'm really glad I actually had fun going to surgery. But I made that determination, too, that I was going to enjoy the process. And no matter what, I just made that decision that I'm going to get the most out of this. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to enjoy this. And it's going to be a wonderful experience. And it
was. Well, I salute you because, you know, it's easy to say those things when nothing is on the line.
Right.
And you to do it when there is, that's when it is important. You know.
Yes, and it was great. I would do it again, and I will do it again with the other eye in the fall, because now the good eye has become the bad eye, and it has a cataract too, not nearly as severe as the left eye was. Nor will I let it get to that point, but.
And you will come armed with a good attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And friends, you know, out-of-state friends.
Yes. out-of-dimension friends. Well, yeah. Saint Germain told me that he was going to send a special surgeon with me to help the doctor.
I remember reading many years ago about a guy in South America called Rodrigo, I think, or something around that name, the surgeon of the rusty knife. And
is that John of God or someone different?
Yeah, he was before John of God.
Oh, okay.
You know, so many people came to see him, they changed the bus routes, you know.
Oh, to go directly to him?
Yeah, they had to change him then.
Mm-hmm.
And they were after him in Brazil, the medical establishment, and he saved the mother or wife or something of the president of Brazil. So they had to let him...
let him continue to practice.
Let him continue in his ways. And he said that he wasn't really doing it. It was through his hands, and it was a rusty knife and everything, and he would cut people open sometimes and just grab stuff out of them.
Mm-hmm.
But he was guided by a host of incredible surgeons. You know, they were really running him, and people went to him from Harvard, and they checked him out, and they had some work done on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's how convinced they were of, you know.
Well, John of God claims the same thing, that there are many many doctors that have, and surgeons that have gone to, you know, left this dimension and through, we'll say it, death, and went and are in the higher realms, and that they work through John of God. That, you know, it's not him that, he says it's not him that is doing it, but
yeah,
these,
exactly.
What did you call them? Out-of-state contractors. That's funny. But, yeah, so.
Yeah, and so many, I always remember that so many people went to see him, they had to change the bus routes or the times to reflect when he was working and when he wasn't. It was he was that popular.
Hmm.
But I wanted to ask, I know they have a festival there in the spring, I think. Is it WESAC Festival?
Yes.
Or something, and I'm not really familiar with it, and that's, I'm a Taurus, and it's right in my...
It's the full moon of Taurus.
Okay. I mean, I've heard of that,
mm-hmm.
something I've read, but I don't know, what do they actually do in this?
Well, what WESAC, and for those that aren't looking at it on a website, it's spelled W-E-S-A-K, and what WESAC is an area. It's a valley. The Wisak Valley is in the Himalayas or Himalayas, depending on which way you want to pronounce it. It's in Tibet. And I've never been there, but it's supposedly a very beautiful valley in between all the really high mountains. And it's considered a sacred spot, a sacred area. And interdimensionally, on the full moon of Taurus of every year, in the Wisak Valley, all of the interdimensional masters gather, and they have a celebration of the Buddhic energy. You know, we have the Christ consciousness, and then there's the Buddha consciousness. You know, there were many Buddhas. There isn't like one Buddha, like there's Jesus the Christ. There are many Buddhas, just like there are actually many Christs. It's a consciousness. It's a state of being. And so they celebrate that Buddhist consciousness, that high level of attainment. And they hold this festival, and the Buddha, you know, the Buddha, appears and blesses all mankind. And it's just, you know, fabulous celebration. And this has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. And Blavatsky and Alice Bailey wrote about it, you know, at the turn of the prior century.
Madame Blavatsky?
Madame Blavatsky, yes.
Oh, yes, the famous. Okay.
and Alice Bailey. Actually, there's the first three full moons of the year, the Aries, the Taurus, and the Gemini full moons, each one is a celebration of humanity, and they focus on a slightly different aspect. And so it starts with the Aries moon, and oh gosh, I forget really which one that means. And then there's the Taurus moon, and then there's the Gemini moon, and the one that's kind of celebrated the most or the most well known is the middle one, the Wisak moon, and I believe that one is focused mostly on peace, love, and compassion, those qualities, and so several groups throughout the years have formed their own celebrations, their own little Wisak celebrations, and you know, in different places. And about 13 years ago, Joshua Stone started coming up to Mount Shasta and having the Mount Shasta Wisak celebration. And it's always the weekend closest to the full moon and of Taurus, and he started it off with kind of like a little mini whole life expo kind of thing, where a lot of speakers would come and musicians and a few vendors outside and all. And he held it at the Weed College, the College of the Siskiyous here in Mount Shasta, and people from all over the world would come, and it's just become an annual event, and this is the 13th year here in Mount Shasta. And Joshua Stone passed on, what, 2 or 3 years ago, and so the woman who runs the Mount Shasta magazine, Don Frenzy, she has carried the tradition on, and this will be the third year of her doing it, and it's really fun. And we've moved the location, we've brought it back into Mount Shasta rather than Weed, the neighboring town, and we hold it at the middle school, the junior high school, and you've got a beautiful view of Mount Shasta during the whole time period, the whole location, and the moon, the full moon comes up over Mount Shasta, it's very glorious looking, and there's various speakers come and musicians and vendors, and I'm going to be one of the vendors again for the third year with all the St. Germain products and all, and quite a few of my friends are speakers and musicians, and it's really a great, it's a great fun time and a celebration and a lot of camaraderie, and it's a wonderful thing to come to. And the following day, on the Monday of the 7th, May 7th, I'm going to be doing a one-day workshop. I usually do three-day workshops, but this will just be a one-day for people that want to stay an extra day in Mount Shasta. A lot of people come and they spend the whole week or so.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do an ascension workshop where I teach people different techniques that St. Germain has taught me to raise our frequency and our vibration and to ascend. And it's going to be a fun event. You should come.
Well, that's very good. That's, you've, you know, you've turned the, you know, just the word, which I didn't understand where it came from or whatever, into a very interesting concept now.
Yeah.
Very good.
So it's very, you know, it's been going on for thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah, and since I'm a Taurus, my birthday is on the 1st.
Oh, May 1st. My brother's birthday is also May 1st.
Right, well,
and
May
some
1st
say,
is,
some
of course,
say that May 1st is St. Germain's Ascension Day.
Well, May 1st is associated with the communist movement.
Right.
It's associated
and with,
it's
the,
a,
with the Druids and with the pagans.
It is a Sabbath.
Uh-huh.
You know, a Wiccan Sabbath. And also, I don't know what to call this, but I've seen it on a website about the Mayans calendar, that it, May 1st is among a few days that they call people born on those days are portals.
Mm. Well,
the Beatles were born on those days.
All of the Beatles?
Yes.
Were born on portal days?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, on Mayan portal days.
Huh.
I don't know that they all overlap with the, you know, with the Sabbats.
Uh-huh.
The Wiccan Sabbats, but
I don't
yes.
either. Well, this at this WESAC event this year, my friend Aluna Joy, who is an expert in the Mayan calendar and works completely and totally with the Mayan elders, is going to come and be one of the speakers. And I talked her into it. And I talked Dawn into having Aluna. So I'm proud to say I'm somewhat responsible for Aluna coming. And Aluna used to live in Mount Shasta. She lived here, I believe, about 15 years. And then she moved to Sedona. She's been in Sedona for quite a few years now, maybe 12 years. And I met Aluna when I first moved here 16 years ago. And she's one of the members of OneSpirit.com, which is one of my websites, and she contributes to the newsletter, the Spirit Voice newsletter, every issue. And so that's another reason for you to come if you're a Mayan portal guy. She can tell you a lot more about
that. Yeah, because I've lost track. You know, I don't remember what they call that particularly,
mm-hmm.
but I remember the concept. You know, that
yeah.
I
don't know too much about it.
Start living up to that.
She did all of my Mayan days and numbers and this and that, and it was fascinating when she was telling me about it, and then I promptly forgot everything she told me except one thing, and that my number of birth is Chimi 13, and I'm a white cosmic world bridger. And that's very true because for my whole life I've had one foot in each dimension. A world bridger bridges worlds or groups of people or dimensions. And so I know that that's true in my case and that I do this on a cosmic level. Isn't that exciting?
Well,
sounds good.
It does really flesh out and make more interesting that, you know, to go to the WESAC. So
mm-hmm.
I thank you for your explanation.
Oh, well, thank you, and I hope to see you there, Wayne.
All right.
And I will have specials. I always do really great specials on all of the Saint Germain items, you know, like almost wholesale. Not quite wholesale, but almost wholesale.
It's a very special marketing vortex.
Yes. And that's, and you know, and every year I bring out a new product. Saint Germain, you know, invents something new every year for me to manifest, and I always introduce it at the technically I introduce it at the San Francisco Whole Living Expo, which is 1 week, the week right before the WESAC Festival. So the San Francisco Expo and the WESAC Festival are the events where the new products each year are introduced.
Well, I wish you all the best of luck in those portals of opportunity.
Well, thank you, Wayne. And come. Oh, and one thing I should tell people, in case they're interested in coming to the WESAC Festival, is if you go to my website, which is ascensionstgermain.com, this year, and they've never done this before, but this year they're having price ranges for the tickets. They're always $300 to come to the entire event. But this year Dawn is trying something new where if you buy your tickets earlier than the last minute, you get a substantial discount. And it started off at $225 for tickets, but the $225 deadline ended a couple of weeks ago. So right now, if you buy tickets before February 15th, they're $250. And if you buy them on my website and click on the link to go to that, it has my name coded on the on the link, and if you purchase it through my website, not only will you get the $50 discount, but you'll get a free Saint Germain elixir, which normally retail for $45. And because your name is coded on there, Dawn will let me know, you know, who purchased tickets through that link, and I'll have a list of people's names. And if you're on that list and you come to the Saint Germain booth and identify yourself, you will get a free elixir.
Oh, great.
So great. It's a double savings.
That's
plus, I get to meet you.
All right. That'd be very nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for all your attention here.
Oh, my pleasure.
This evening, and I wish you all the best with your, eyes and the coming surgery.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's a great experience. It's really great. And everyone should go to my doctor. Because he's really good. And I hope to see you. And thanks for the great story of the Irishman lottery story that dovetailed so
yeah, essentially we have to buy that ticket in our own lives.
Yes. We do. We have to. Everything is a co-creation.
Yeah,
we have to participate.
You know, and anyway, I don't want to get into that right now. Very nice, very nice. I'm so glad to have had a chance to talk to you.
Well, thank you. My pleasure. And call again sometime.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Well, that was fun. Thank you, Wayne, for calling in. So, see, it's fun to call in. So somebody else can call in too, please. So, that's good. I'm really glad he asked about WESAC because I always kind of forget to promote things that I want to promote, and I wanted to let people know about the WESAC celebration. So that they could get the discount tickets and save some money and get a free elixir if they come through my website for the tickets. and it really is a fun event. And a lot of people, you know, people like to come to Mount Shasta, and they tend to look for an excuse to come to Mount Shasta, or a reason to come. And this is a perfect reason. You know, 300 or 400 people from all over the world, you know, come to these events. And Mount Shasta is a small town, so, you know, another 400 people plus the participants, which is another couple of hundred, you know, we sort of take over the town for that weekend. And everything in Mount Shasta is kind of close, you know, it's all within walking distance. We've got great restaurants and hotels, and it's geared towards tourists, so it's a fun place to visit. And here you've got these incredible speakers, very famous speakers that come all for the same event, so you don't have to run from workshop to workshop or different places. This year we've got Terry Cole Whitaker, who, she and I used to be really good friends about 20 years ago. I haven't seen her in 20 years. It's going to be wonderful to see Terry again. We used to kind of hang out together when we were both in Los Angeles. And she's always very inspirational and puts on a really great show. And then there's this man named Master Shaw, S-H-A. And this is his second time coming, and he was the hit of the show, the hit of the event last year. People were really excited by him and his techniques. And Michael Tamura, who now lives here in Mount Shasta, he's very inspiring and has incredible things to share. And my friend Aluna, with all the Mayan events, and gosh, who else is coming up? It's a whole bunch of people. And then entertainer-wise, when I went to Hawaii last August to the Patty Cota Robles World Congress of Illumination event, I asked specifically to be roommates with Faith Riviera because I had seen her the year before. She was one of the entertainers. And she is an incredible little powerhouse of encouragement and inspiration and a voice that just rocks the house down. She can sing like an angel when she's singing, you know, a ballad, or she just rocks when she's doing up-tempo and all of that. She's an Emmy Award winner. She has worked with... She's worked in inspirational music, and then she's also worked in, right in the middle of the whole music industry, you know, with Neil Young and I forget all the people, because anything past the Beatles, you know, is past my era. she has got about 6 or 7. CDs out. She's done soundtracks for movies and television. That's where she's won her Emmys. She's worked with Neil Walsh and some of the other New Age people doing music for their events. And she's just incredible. So I asked to be her roommate. And I was granted that wish, and I got to be her roommate. So we because I wanted to get to know her on a personal level, and she was just a lot of fun. We just had a great time. And I told her all about WESAC, and I said, you ought to come. And she hadn't heard about it, and she said, well, you know, I've always wanted to go to Mount Shasta. And I said, well, it's the perfect time, you know. You should come up and introduce your music to Mount Shasta and stuff. And so, again, I made the connection between her and Dawn, and she's going to be the headline entertainer. She's going to do 2 concerts, the Friday night opening one and the really big Saturday night event. And I think she's also going to do the closing on Sunday. So it's a wonderful time to see her and experience her. She will have all of her CDs there at a great reduction in price. And also another entertainer that will be there is Eric Berglund. He's a wonderful, angelic presence. He plays the harp, and he literally is an angel and definitely sings like one. And he tours all over the world. He's world renowned. He's much more famous outside of America than here. And he's a resident. He lives here in Mount Shasta. And his songs and his performance, besides being really beautiful and heartfelt, is also a healing experience. And so he will be there, and he's great to see and hear. And there's food, and there's vendors, and there's little stuff for sale, and it's a really fun thing. And you get to meet lots of people and with like mind, and the vibration and the frequency that happens during WESAC, and especially in Mount Shasta, which is such an incredible energy vortex. You know, everything just gets magnified to such a blissful, wonderful state that if you can at all make it, it's from May 4th through 6th, and then stay an extra day and come and do my Ascension workshop. It's a beautiful time of year to be here in Mount Shasta, and it's an incredible event and a lot of fun and a lot of growth and spiritual upliftment and fun. So I really encourage everyone to come to it if they can. And you can always email me. I can tell you about different places to stay. It's not too expensive to come and stay here. We have great little places that are, you know, 50 bucks a night, that kind of thing. A lot of good restaurants and there's camping if you want to go camping and all. And of course, then you get to go on the mountain, experience Mount Shasta. So we've got about, how much time do I have left? I have 12 minutes and 44 seconds left of this show. So I really encourage someone to call in if they would like to speak on the air. And the phone numbers, again, are, if you're within the 50 states, it's 877-876-5227. And our Canadian friends number is 888-810-8322. And do a commercial for myself. My website is ascensionstgermain.com. And right now there's, besides the information on WESAC, I'm also having a sale for the month of February on St. Germain's Elixir. And it's normally $45, and this month it's $37.77. And the Elixir, for those of you that know about St. Germain, in his last embodiment, which lasted over 300 years, and he never left a physical body, just kind of disappeared and reappeared and disappeared and reappeared, which he still to this day is doing. But the time when he was primarily in body on a continual basis was a 300-year period. And he never aged. He got to that age of perfection, you know, the late 30s, early 40s, where we're kind of at our best, and he just stayed there. And people would meet him 50, 60 years later. He would meet people when they were children or teenagers, and then years and years would go by, and he'd see the same person that was now in their 60s or 70s, and they would say, "Oh, I met your father or your grandfather, you know, many years ago." And he would say, oh, but that was me. That was me that you met. And they'd say, oh, that can't be. You'd have to be at least 100 years old if that were really you. And his answer would be something kind of cryptic, like, well, that's not at all impossible. And so he was well known for his longevity and his eternal youth. And he drank this elixir that he made. He made quite a few concoctions in those days. He's known as the master alchemist. And he made this elixir that was basically a bunch of really awful-tasting herbs. And that's what he pretty much existed on, as this herbal concoction and occasional bowl of oatmeal and buckwheat and a little bit of fruits and vegetables, but primarily this elixir. And I had heard about the elixir and knew about it, oh gosh, years and years and years ago. And I used to always ask him for it. You know, can I have the elixir? You know, maybe you could just make a bottle of it manifest somewhere, and you know, and just make it appear somewhere. Give me the elixir. I want the elixir, because I wanted to take it. And whenever I asked him for it, he just totally ignored me as if I had not said one word. And I would just kind of get exasperated and go on to something else. And then, you know, a couple of conversations later, I'd go, well, what about the elixir? Do I ever get the elixir? I want the elixir. You know, and I basically became a nag. And he was kind enough to not tell me to shut up. He just totally ignored me. And then years and years went by, and I had given up asking him for the elixir. I got the hint, you know, and I stopped asking him. And when we started doing the cosmetics, which at this point now is almost 4 years, it was 4 years ago, we started doing it. And we had already brought the cream out, and we were working on Time Warp, the second product. And we were having the equivalent of a little business meeting, you know, where we're talking about what to put in Time Warp and its purpose and all of that. And I said something kind of sarcastic, actually, about, well, I guess I can forget about ever getting the elixir. And he looks at me and he goes, oh, you want the elixir? Yes, I've been begging you for it for 30 years. And I didn't say that, but I thought that. And I went, yes. And he goes, oh, well, okay, well, it's blah, blah. And he proceeds to start telling me what's in it. And I'm going, wait. And I'm scrambling to find a piece of paper and a pen to write it all down. I'm going, what was that? And he gave it to me in stages. He goes, I'm going to give you the first 7 ingredients. And I go, okay. And so he gave me these 7 ingredients. And he said, you know, make that and start taking it and see what you think. So I did. I drank it for several months every single day. And like I say, it's not the most pleasant tasting thing, but I did it anyway. And I started, at first I really didn't notice anything. And then one day, I was literally just kind of walking past a mirror, and my eyes were just kind of glancing in the mirror, and I did a double take, and I stopped, and I went and I stared in the mirror, and my white hair was turning back to its natural color. And I just, oh my God, and I started moving my fingers, you know, through my hair, opening up new parts and separating, and my hair had gotten to the point where the front part, the behind my ears and the whole top of my head and up to about the crown part, was almost all white. It was 90% white. And I know this very well because a friend of mine came to see me, and it had been 12 years since we had seen each other. And I was going to dye my hair. I was going to color my hair before he came. And I had to drive up to Oregon to buy hair dye, because doesn't have the kind that I use. And I thought I had some in the house, and I was going to color my hair the night before he came. And I was getting ready to do it, and I looked in the bathroom cabinets, and I didn't have any. And I didn't have time to drive to Oregon and get it and do my hair before he came the next day. So I had to greet him at my house with this white hair and looking much older than the 12 years that had passed since I had last saw him. But that was okay. He had hair the last time I saw him. He didn't have any hair, so we were kind of even. But I remember the look in his face of you know, looking at my hair and just going, So here it was about 3 months later, and I look, and my hair is almost all colored back. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And understatement. And then other things started happening, most of which are a little too personal to mention on public radio, but other physical things happened. Things that had stopped in my life started again, if you want to fill in the blanks on that. And my eyebrows, I had lost almost all the hair on my eyebrows, and they were white. They started turning back to brown again, and getting thicker to where I now have to tweeze my eyebrows again. Not that I'm complaining, but all these things started happening. And so I test, and then I ran tests. I had about 100 testers, people that I did not know at all, never met. And I had them take the elixir, and I never said, well, are you seeing this or are you experiencing that? The questions were totally essay questions. What have you noticed? And people would write their reports in. And after seeing the results from these 100 different people, I realized, okay, this is affecting people very dramatically, and it's certainly something that I can put out there to the world and make available to people with confidence that it wasn't just my imagination, that there really was something to it. And we don't sell it as the actual tea because you'd have to get gallons and gallons of it, and it's too heavy to mail, and I don't want to put preservatives in it, and, you know, and it's the question of breakage and also of allergies. Some people might be allergic to some of the things that are in it. So I couldn't figure out how to make it available to people, and I finally asked Saint Germain, and he goes, well, make it an essence. And I kind of went, duh, of course, and totally forgot that 20 years earlier I was making gem elixirs and things like that. And so that's how this elixir is. It's a vibrational essence of it, similar to homeopathics and to the Bach flower remedies and things like that. So instead of getting gallons and gallons of very bitter herbs, you get this nice little 1 ounce blue cobalt blue glass bottle of the elixir as a vibrational essence, and you just put one drop into a glass of water or even into a half gallon of water or whatever, and sip with it, and it really raises your frequency and your vibration and does amazing things. So I suggest and invite everyone to go to the website, ascensionstgermain.com, and check out the elixir page and read it. Most of the disclaimers about this may happen in the severe detox is sort of to separate the wheat from the chaff. It's really nothing to be afraid of. But I really urge people to try it and see what happens. So I've got less than a minute here to say goodnight. It's been great being back on the air and sharing my eye experience and talking to Wayne. Yes, Wayne was his name. And I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope you'll come to WESAC, and I hope you'll tune in again next week. And let's see, on the 28th of February, I'm having a friend of mine who is an economic astrologer and she's going to be giving us the forecast for the year and how to prosper in the dire predictions of the year. So I hope you'll tune in then and every week. And in the meantime, blessings to all, and see you next week. Thanks. Bye.